This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
The Daily Migs Show presents the most popular radio game on this side of the speaker. Let's play Beat Migs.
Beat Migs, don't be a loser. Beat Migs, you're a loser.
Who's ready to beat Migs? I know Zach from Tacoma is. Zach, are you there?
I'm here.
My name is Taryn. I'm your host, and it is time for you to get out of here, Steve.
All right, bye-bye.
For those playing along at home, Zach will have 60 seconds to answer 10 questions. You can pass all you want, but you only get 3 guesses per question. Are you ready?
I'm ready, Taryn.
Which video game character's mission is to rescue Princess Peach?
Mario.
Correct. The Himalayas are located on what continent?
Asia.
Correct. What was the name of the possessed hotel in The Shining?
Oh, the Overlook?
That is right. Butterhead, arugula, and little gem are all types of what?
Is that lettuce?
Yes. What animal has the longest gestational period?
Ooh, pass.
How many provinces
Elephant?
Are there? Yes. How many provinces Are there in Canada?
Oh, man. Are there 5?
No.
6?
No.
7?
No. What rapper famously feuded with Notorious B.I.G. in the 90s?
Tupac.
That's correct. In The Simpsons, what is the name of Bart's best friend?
Milhouse?
Yes. How many teams make up the National Hockey League?
Oh, no. 30.
No.
28?
No.
32?
Correct. Two lines that never intersect are called what?
Let's be parallel, Taryn.
That is right. Oh, my gosh. You got 9 correct, Zach.
9, man. Zach Attack is back.
Yeah.
Let's go.
I hope you're playing in honor of Bob Rivers this morning.
Absolutely. It's all for Bob, guys.
It's all for Bob, for Zach, Steve.
Oh, great. It's going to be for Bob for me, too.
Well, you got your work cut out for you.
Oh, son of a...
Are you ready?
Oh, I think so. It's not working.
There we go.
Which video game character's mission is to rescue Princess Peach?
It's-a-me, Mario.
Yes. The Himalayas are located on what continent?
Oh, crap. Africa.
No.
Antarctica.
No.
Asia.
Yes. What was the name of the possessed hotel in The Shining?
Bates Motel.
No.
Oh, crap. That was... I love the movie. I can't think of it. Pass.
Butterhead, arugula, and little gem are all types of what?
Nicknames I had in high school. lettuce.
Correct. What animal has the longest gestation period?
What animal has the longest? A pig?
No.
A cow?
No.
A bear?
No. How many provinces are there in Canada?
There are 10.
That is correct. What rapper famously feuded with Notorious B.I.G. in the 90s?
That would be Vanilla Ice.
No.
Tupac?
Yes. In The Simpsons, what is the real name of Bart's best friend? What is the name of Bart's best friend?
Trick question. He has no friends. Flanders.
No.
I don't know. I can't. Kenny.
No.
Stan.
No. How many teams make up the NHL?
32.
Correct. Wow. Steve? You got 6 correct.
That's probably not good enough.
Which is a loss.
Oh!
9-6.
Okay, that's nice.
Congratulations, Zach. You're the big winner.
Thanks, guys, and nice.
The Daily Migs Show.
When did you shoot your shot, and how did that turn out? 206-803-ROCK. Let's talk to Matthew from Duval. Matthew, you took a shot with Brooke Shields.
Excuse me?
Yeah, I asked Brooke Shields out on a date.
Where did you run into Brooke Shields?
I was working in Sun Valley at the time in Idaho. Uh-oh.
What happened?
You guys disappeared, didn't you? You there?
Yeah, we're here.
We can hear you.
Yeah, I was working in Sun Valley at the time in Idaho.
Around what time was it? Like, not time, like the day, but like what time of, like, you know, in the 80s, the 90s? When did you run into her?
This was 90 or 91. It was just around the Gulf War time.
Okay, so that's like peak Brooke Shields right then and there.
What's that?
That's like peak, like, the era of Brooke Shields.
Yeah. I mean, she was hot. She was young. I was young. We were both young.
We're both young and hot. We should hang out.
Yeah, and she said no.
Did she say no nicely?
She did very nicely. She said, I would, but I'm here with a gentleman friend. And then she gave me an autograph, and it said, to Matthew, thank you for the most wonderful evening ever. Love always, Brooke. And then she gave me the XOXO thing.
So you could have lied to people and said, oh, yeah, we hung out, and then she signed this autograph to prove it.
Man, it was cool that I had the autograph anyway.
Hell yeah.
Do you still have it somewhere?
Mom does, somewhere in the attic.
Nice. Gotta save that one forever. Thanks, Matthew. 206-803-ROCK, when did you shoot your shot?
I was trying to think, like, when anytime I've ever, like, done a shooting my shot, it had nothing to do with relationships. I guess with my wife, but, like, you know, just a text when I hang out. Like, it wasn't anything, like, over-the-top crazy, but, like, I, you know, other things, like job stuff. But what about you?
There was definitely a job I applied for that I was way underqualified for many years ago, and no, I did not get an interview. It was for, like, a medical sales position that had the potential to pay big, big, big dollars if you're good, but they were like, no, we're not even going to get... I think I interviewed, and then they were like, thank you for coming.
Did you in your cover letter say, I'm very familiar with narcotics?
Pretty much. That was the big selling point. If you hire me, I know my stuff.
I used to sell my sorority sister's weed all the time. I could sell anything.
206-803-ROCK, when did you shoot your shot and how did it go? Casey from Olympia, tell us about your husband.
So this was 18 years ago. I was just 18, summer job doing landscaping. And there was, like, I had a girl boss, so it was, like, the girl crew, I guess you could say. And then he was on the other crew, which is all guys. And we all met up after work, like, talking about having a barbecue. And he was the only one that didn't come up to the truck, like, to talk to the girl crew. And all the guys were like, hey, who do you want to come? And I looked across the parking lot, and I was like, I want him to come. And
excuse
he
me?
Showed up, and we haven't left each other since.
Oh, I love
that's
that.
Amazing.
Wow.
Yeah. How was the barbecue?
Was a great guy. There wasn't a lot of barbecuing. There was more hot tubbing.
Oh. Right, what's going on
way,
beneath the bubbles there?
Finger licking good no matter what, right? Hey.
206-803-ROCK, when did you shoot your shot? Joseph in Marysville, you pretended to be a baseball star.
Joseph.
Hey.
Tell us about your story.
Yeah. Back when the All-Star game came to Seattle, I forget the year. It was like 2001.
Yeah.
Somewhere around there.
I think it was 2001.
I think it was. Me and two of my girlfriends, we went to Seattle. And we went to Planet Hollywood, and I heard they were having a big VIP party for all the All-Stars and stuff in a special room. And when I walked in, they said, regular seating. I said, no, I play for the California Angels. I just didn't know who to check in with. And they wanted to see my MLB card. And I said, well, I don't have it. I'm here, you know, because I live in my mom lives in Washington State, so I'm visiting her. And so they let me in to the VIP. Well, first they took me into a room and had me sign my autograph with two models, you know, and then walked me downstairs into the VIP room.
Joseph, hold on a second, Joseph. Did you use like an actual baseball player's name, or you're just like, no, I'm Joseph. I pitched for the California Angels.
Yeah. I used my own name.
That's amazing.
And just said I played for the California Angels and I'm a pitcher. And so when I get into the VIP room, there's Gary Payton, Sean Kemp, Cortez Kennedy.
Oh my gosh.
Just mass Seattle, you know, star
like royalty. Yeah.
I got so wasted, I don't even remember leaving the place. It was all free booze and free food, and I went out and got my girlfriends and brought them in and said, oh, I'm bringing these two groupies in with me.
Joseph, out of curiosity, are you built like an athlete? Like, do you look the part?
I do. I'm like 6'3". I was really slender back then.
Well, you see some of the pictures. Not every pitcher is like looks the part. Like some of them like look like they've been drinking all night
long. That's true.
And they're still dominant pitchers. Yeah.
Right. I kind of had a little bit of a scruff going on, and you know, it looked like a pitcher. But one of my friends ended up going home with Sean Kemp, so I was like, score for her.
Literally,
allegedly. I'm just picturing him walking in and seeing like all these athletes and him being like, hello, fellow professional sports athletes. It's me, Joseph.
I mean, that would be a tough gig to try to fake.
I like this one. I decided to try and hit on the hot server at The Rock with the sweet hiney. This year will be 10 years married. Her hiney is still sweet as ever.
Aw, that's so romantic.
The Daily Migs Show.
When did you shoot your shot and how did that turn out? 206-803-ROCK. Let's talk to Matthew from Duval. Matthew, you took a shot with Brooke Shields.
Excuse me?
Yeah, I asked Brooke Shields out on a date.
Where did you run into Brooke Shields?
I was working in Sun Valley at the time in Idaho. Uh-oh.
What happened?
You guys disappeared, didn't you? You there?
Yeah, we're here.
We can hear you.
Yeah, I was working in Sun Valley at the time in Idaho.
Around what time was it? Like, not time, like the day, but like what time of like, you know, in the 80s, the 90s? When did you run into her?
This was 90 or 91. It was just around the Gulf War time.
Okay, so that's like peak Brooke Shields right then and there.
What's that?
That's like peak, like the era of Brooke Shields.
Yeah. I mean, she was hot. She was young. I was young. We were both young.
We're both young and hot. We should hang out.
Yeah, and she said no.
Did she say no nicely?
She did very nicely. She said, I would, but I'm here with a gentleman friend. And then she gave me an autograph, and it said, to Matthew, thank you for the most wonderful evening ever. Love always, Brooke. And then she gave me the XOXO thing.
So you could have lied to people and said, oh, yeah, we hung out, and then she signed this autograph to prove it.
Man, it was cool that I had the autograph anyway.
Hell yeah.
Do you still have it somewhere?
Mom does, somewhere in the attic.
Nice. Gotta save that one forever. Thanks, Matthew. 206-803-ROCK, when did you shoot your shot?
I was trying to think of like when anytime I've ever like done a shooting my shot, it had nothing to do with relationships. I guess with my wife, but like, you know, just a text you want to hang out. Like, it wasn't anything like over the top crazy, but like, other things like job stuff. But what about you?
There was definitely a job I applied for that I was way underqualified for many years ago. And no, I did not get an interview. It was for like a medical sales position that had the potential to pay big dollars if you're good. But they were like, no, we're not even going to. I think I interviewed and then they were like, thank you for coming.
Did you in your cover letter say, I'm very familiar with narcotics?
Pretty much. That was the big selling point. If you hire me, I know my stuff.
I used to sell my sorority sister's weed all the time. I could sell anything.
206-803-ROCK, when did you shoot your shot and how did it go? Casey from Olympia, tell us about your husband.
So this was 18 years ago. I was just 18. Summer job doing landscaping. And there was like, I had a girl boss, so it was like the girl crew, I guess you could say. And then he was on the other crew, which is all guys. And we all met up after work, like talking about having a barbecue. And he was the only one that didn't come up to the truck, like to talk to the girl crew. And all the guys were like, hey, who do you want to come? And I looked across the parking lot and I was like, I want him to come. And he showed up and we haven't left each other since.
Oh, I love
that. That's amazing.
Wow.
How was the barbecue?
There wasn't a lot of barbecuing. There was more hot tubbing.
Oh. Oh. Right, either way, beneath the bubbles there.
Finger licking good no matter what, right? Hey.
206-803-ROCK. When did you shoot your shot? Joseph in Marysville, you pretended to be a baseball star.
Joseph.
Hey.
Tell us about your story.
Yeah, back when the All-Star game came to Seattle, I forget the year. It was like 2001.
Yeah.
Somewhere around there.
I think it was 2001.
Me and two of my girlfriends, we went to Seattle. And we went to Planet Hollywood, and I heard they were having a big VIP party for all the All-Stars and stuff in a special room. And when I walked in, they said... regular seniors, but no, I play for the California Angels. I just didn't know who to check in with. And they wanted to see my MLB card. And I said, well, I don't have it. I'm here, you know, because my mom lives in Washington State, so I'm visiting her. And so they let me in to the VIP. Well, first they took me into a room and had me sign my autograph with two models, you know, and then walked me downstairs into the VIP room.
Joseph, hold on a second, Joseph. Did you use like an actual baseball player's name, or you're just like, no, I'm Joseph. I pitched for the California Angels.
Yeah. I use my own name.
That's amazing.
And just said I play for the California Angels and I'm a pitcher. And so when I get into the VIP room, there's Gary Payton, Sean Kemp, Cortez Kennedy, just mass Seattle, you know, star.
Like royalty, yeah.
I got so wasted, I don't even remember leaving the place. It was all free booze and free food, and I went out and got my girlfriends and brought them in and said, oh, I'm bringing these two groupies in with me.
Joseph, out of curiosity, are you built like an athlete? Like, do you look the part?
I do. I'm like 6'3". I was really slender back then.
Well, you see some of the pitchers. Not every pitcher is like looks the part. Like some of them like look like they've been drinking all night
long.
And they're still dominant pitchers. Yeah.
Right. I kind of had a little bit of a scruff going on, and you know, it looked like a pitcher. But one of my friends ended up going home with Sean Kemp, so I was like, score for her.
Literally.
Allegedly. I'm just picturing him walking in and seeing like all these athletes and him being like, hello, fellow professional sports athletes. It's me, Joseph.
I mean, that would be a tough gig to try to fake.
I decided to try and hit on the hot server at The Rock with the sweet hiney. This year, I'll be 10 years married. Her hiney is still sweet as ever.
Aw, that's so romantic.
The Daily Migs Show.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Zoe. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
It's time for Hook or Shook, the game with absolutely no integrity. We'll play 1 second of a hook from a song, then you have to guess what it is. We'll bend the rules, pull out all the stops, and do anything to help you win. But you might just get shook, as one of us will play two and possibly cost you the game.
Say hello to our contestant this morning, Jody from Gold Bar. Good morning, Jody.
Morning, how's it going?
Oh, doing great. Let's see who you are playing with. Will it be me or Migs?
All right, the wheel's spinning. Who will it land on?
Will it be Taryn Daly?
Will
it be Steve Migs? It's looking like Jody, it's you and me, baby. Let's win these tickets.
Right. Yeah.
I love that little sound, whatever
Absolutely.
It is. All right, Jody, here is your clip.
Oh, Kickstart My Heart, Motley Crue.
Hell yeah, Jody. This was always my favorite part of, not my favorite part, but one of my favorite parts of the Seahawks game before the game starts, and all of a sudden you hear that sound,
oh,
and it's
yeah.
the beginning of Kickstart My Heart. You're just like, let's go, Hawks.
All right, Steve. Jody just crushed that.
I know, no pressure.
Pressure's on you. Here is your clip.
Oh, but a good time. How can I resist? It's Poison. Nothing but a good time. I'll be honest, I was like, is that the name of the song?
You did great, Steve.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Thank you, my man.
Well, this just puts me in a mood.
Oh. A mood that will piss Thrill off. I'm a sucker for bad 80s hair metal, like Poison and Cinderella. I mean, to find bad, some people may be like, no, actually, they're really good. I enjoyed them. But, you know, like that cheesy hair metal.
Oh, for sure.
Overly poppy.
I mean, my greatest satisfaction when it comes to reality TV, though, was watching Bret Michaels and Rock of Love. I watched that religiously.
Then the spinoff of Daisy of Love.
Oh, Daisy De La Hoya. There were some gems.
Yeah.
The Daily Migs Show.
All morning, we have received texts and calls from you that we haven't had a chance to chat about. But right now, we are checking in with the Rockaholics, and it's brought to you by Albert Lee Appliance. Give us a call if there's something you'd like to chime in on from the show today, or if you have anything on your mind that you would like to discuss with us. 206-803-ROCK. Earlier, we were discussing bad words that you learned as a child, or maybe your own child learned a bad word.
Yeah, because my daughter almost learned a bad word thanks to a parrot on YouTube.
Those dang parrots can't
Stupid
be trusted.
Parrot.
And we've got Brian on the phone. Brian, what is the word that your two-year-old picked up, obviously without saying the actual word?
Well, it was the F word, and it was pretty funny circumstances. 1991, March Madness. I'm a big Duke basketball fan at the time, and I'm on the phone long distance with a buddy. And at the end, it was back and forth, and I'm screaming probably, you know, F and A. And I don't know if he's in his room or in earshot or whatever. Next day, my wife is out shopping in Target. And, you know, for a two-year-old, he was pretty advanced. He could, you know, say his numbers and colors and English and Spanish and all kinds of stuff. And he was singing a song to himself. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, F, and 8, 9, 10. And all the ladies in line were like, what did that kid just say?
I mean, that number 8 deserves that precursor.
I love that.
Brian, real stupid question. 1991, Duke, was that the Christian Laettner years?
Oh, yeah. Christian Laettner, Bobby Hurley, yeah.
Oh, man, that was a team. They yeah. were effing
and
great.
And then my daughter, when she was about 2 or 3, her favorite band was AC/DC, but she knew them as ACBCDC, and because she knew her ABCs.
Aww.
And her favorite song was Highway to Help.
Help.
Oh, I love
I like
that.
I like it.
Barrett's really into Dirty Deeds right now. I mean, AC/DC is a great first band for a kid.
I haven't yet to get Tatum hooked on AC/DC, but I think you're right. It's a good, straightforward, simple rock.
Absolutely. 206-803-ROCK, we are checking in with the Rockaholics. And we've got Jaime from Atlanta who also wants to weigh in on favorite cuss words. Jaime, tell us what's yours.
Hey, thank you, guys. I grew up in a very strict household. We couldn't even say the word fart. So we were on a road trip one time, and we were going across a dam, and me being my cheeky little self, I said, damn. And my mom's like, Jay. And I was like, what? We're going over a dam.
That's a great cover-up.
It is. It's a loophole in the system.
I love that. Yeah, she still tells that story, and I thought it was a loophole, too. It was a great cover-up.
Absolutely.
It's funny you say, because there was a moment where I thought Tatum was going to learn that word, too, because one of the many parrot videos that we were watching yesterday on YouTube, one of the parrots said this.
Oh, damn it. I'm like, what is happening?
Parrots are amazing entertainment.
I'm a little worried that we might own a parrot by the year's end.
Oh my God, you guys are going to be bird people?
I don't want to be, but she's really into parrots right now.
Okay, so your daughter's into parrots. My son is very into, like, snakes.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think is going to happen first? You guys getting a bird or us getting a reptile?
Not sure, but if we get a bird, bring the snake over, and then something accidental could happen.
Yes!
Then we don't have to worry about the bird anymore.
Oh my God. 206-803-ROCK. We are checking in with the Rockaholics.
Someone said, I was literally talking to my neighbor about all this just yesterday. She's about 80 years old and grew up in a very conservative household. She said that when she was a child, she heard about bad words but didn't know what they were. So she paid 10 cents to a kid at school to tell her a few bad words.
That is precious.
So what was yours?
I remember being probably like 3 or 4 years old, and I had heard my dad and a few of his buddies chatting, and one of them dropped an F-bomb. So I walked up to my mom and said, what does F mean? And I still distinctly remember her being on the phone, and she was like, sister, I'm going to have to call you back. Hang up.
Gotta go.
We also lived in a household where, like, fart was a bad word. So it was like, I was scared out of my mind after saying that. I mean, she just put the fear of God in me. She still does, all these years later.
But you're just asking a question.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But she was like, don't, that's a grown-up word. Don't you ever say that again.
Danny, do you remember the first time you said a bad word?
I don't remember it. My mom also likes to tell the story, kind of like Jaime's though. I was 3, I think, and my mom's walking around the house. And she kind of had, like, you know, she would get mad about different things, and she couldn't find her keys. So she's walking around the house. Where are my damn keys? Where are my damn keys? And she loves to say that I walked into the room about an hour later and very like sheepish and, Mom, did you ever find your damn keys? And she was just like, oh, I should probably need to dial this in a bit.
How could she get mad at you? She's yelling it the whole time.
I mean, honestly, kids are the original parents.
Yes.
It's true.
Yeah, you have to be very careful.
You really do. It's
funny you say fart, because this happened over the weekend. So we're taking Tatum to a birthday party. It was a Bluey-themed birthday party. It was pretty awesome. Met some nice parents or fellow wrestling fans. So I was having the best time, right? But it was so adorable, because I'm watching Tatum. You know, it was just me and her. Mom wasn't there. And she was very proud. She was excited to go because it's a classmate, but she was very proud that her dad took her.
Aww.
And that just made my night. And she's going up to all of her friends, like, introducing me to them, which is way better than her mom, because mom never introduces me to her friends. So I was like, okay, at least that's nice. At least you're a step ahead of mom. But I overheard her talking to one of her friends, like, that's my daddy. My daddy's silly. And he farts a lot.
Oh, my God.
And I was like,
honestly, that's exactly how I would describe you, Steve Miggs.
I can get mad. I was like, well, you're kind of right. And I was a little proud, because I was like, I was not proud that she was telling this kid that I fart a lot, but I was proud that she was proud to tell this kid about her dad.
Oh, I love that. So that and Bluey themed on top of it? Couldn't get any better.
We went to Walmart, got some matching shirts.
Did you guys play Keepy Uppy at the party?
You know, we didn't, and there were balloons.
Wow.
Where the hell were you?
Missed opportunity.
Yeah.
The Daily Migs Show.
Yesterday, we had a little chat about some of the greatest songs that feature the whistle.
Yes.
Whistling songs. And one of the songs was this one.
I mean, the best. Very polarizing. A lot of Rockaholics very upset with Danny and Sarah because they have no clue what this song is and don't understand the importance of Wind of Change.
It's embarrassing, kind of, you know?
I couldn't sleep last night. I was in bed whistling, thinking about Danny and Sarah.
Follow the Moscow, down to Gonky Park.
It's also gotten better.
I think you guys were all high back in the... When did this song come out?
1991.
Like, even worse.
91?
I think it was 91.
I think it was like 89.
Oh.
I don't know. I might have to do some research on that. I think it was late 80s. I'm pretty sure that happened before grunge. I could be wrong.
Wow, you guys are such big fans.
Mm.
Oh, you better watch your mouth, lady. And I know you mentioned, like, you were like, oh, I don't know that. Can you play something else of the song? Maybe I'll reckon. And so here's, like, the hook.
Not better.
No? Did you figure out what year it came out?
91. Terry
91, you were right.
Immediately. Look at her spout that off.
Wow, you're a bigger Scorpions fan than I realized.
I don't know about that. Well, of course, this got us all fired up. Talking about our own whistling skills. I need some chapstick. Are you doing inside and outside?
I'm a sucker and a blower when it comes to whistling.
Yeah, you are.
Wow.
Wow, we're pretty good at this.
Are you?
Now, Migs, I heard you even got your daughter involved in this conversation. Is this true?
Because I was whistling and I got home. I couldn't stop whistling the damn song. And so Tatum was just kind of like, she doesn't know how to whistle. And I was trying to teach her how to whistle. And well, I grabbed my phone to record it.
The horse.
Oh, can you whistle for me again?
Yeah, there's no putting lips together or anything like that. She just goes, oh! So then the rest of the day, that's what she's trying to call DJ. Oh! Oh my God.
That's me.
Nailed it.
You're totally crushing
it. Nailed it.
It sounds like a dying dog and me whistling as it's dying.
I'm surprised your dogs aren't like...
Also, is your wife home at this time?
I think she's in the other room.
What is going on?
She's like, what is... I gotta question my husband's parenting ways.
You do that? That sounds just like the song. Your turn.
She's crushing it.
She's doing something.
Honestly, the girls got rhythm.
I mean, the Scorpions are just higher. They're not getting any younger, those guys. I think they need a new lead singer.
I'm impressed, honestly. You're a great teacher, Steve.
Thank you. That's what a good parent does, Taryn. They teach them how to whistle and ride a bike, of course. Oh, this is great. We just got a text message saying you guys should get Danny's daughter to listen and review it like she did with Metallica.
No.
Oh, I can only imagine if you play this for her. I have a feeling that the answer will be a little worse than this.
Well, it's dumb.
Yeah, honestly, it probably will. I'm kind of interested to see what she's going to say now.
Daily Mix Show.
Apparently, both Ozzy Osbourne and Chris Cornell were considered as possible singers for Van Halen.
I saw this interview with Alex Van Halen. With both of those artists, I can't wrap my head around this. I can't even, I even went online to try and find if there's any, audio of Cornell covering Van Halen or Ozzy covering Van Halen. I'm like, I just can't even hear it in my ears.
To your point yesterday, we were talking about unheard demos and things like that.
Right.
I would pay money to hear what that would sound like because it is impossible to wrap your head around it. But this apparently with Ozzy was about 2001 after Gary Cherone's tenure was coming to a close.
That's Van Halen's greatest singer, Gary Cherone.
On Van Halen 3.
Yes, from Extreme.
But then this was right at the time that the Osbournes were launching on MTV and that basically killed the deal. And this is... I just can't even imagine because Ozzy can't do the same kind of vocals as a David Lee Roth or a Sammy Hagar.
Well, I got to imagine it's less about, when they brought Sammy Hagar in, I don't think they were Sammy could sing like David Lee Roth. They're probably just thinking this is a new chapter of Van Halen, a different sound. And I got to imagine they're we can't make Ozzy not be Ozzy. It's just going to be this super group type of a thing.
So wild.
I would love to hear it.
And then several years later, Van Halen was rehearsing with Chris Cornell as a possible lead singer. And Alex had said in this interview that after that jam session, they were completely sold on Chris Cornell. And then he passed away in 2017. So this was much more recent.
That one, I just can't hear Cornell singing Jump. You know what I mean? That would just be so weird. I would love to hear it, but I just can't picture it.
It's hard to... Yeah, I can't either. But they did say that when Chris Cornell was there rehearsing with them, that he was in a very fragile part of his life. But they said they jammed for 45 minutes, and he got so into it that he started bleeding.
His fingers, because I guess Cornell was playing bass.
Yeah, it's wild.
And the funny part is, I went on YouTube to try and see if there was any audio of Cornell, Soundgarden, Audioslave covering Van Halen. Couldn't find anything, but I found an interview that Pete Thorne, who was a guitarist with Cornell when he was doing his solo stuff, and he shared a story about how Cornell was trying to arrange something with him and Eddie Vedder where they were going to make a recording project where it was going to be Pete on guitar, Eddie Van Halen on guitar, and Cornell singing, and Pete Thorne shared that story on an interview.
Chris Cornell floated the idea of you maybe working on a song. And would you be interested in something like that? And he said, yeah, sure. And 45 minutes later, he texted me. He said, Ed wants you to call him. Here's his cell phone number. And I don't want to get anybody excited thinking that this ever got finished because it didn't. But he did work on it. And, I would go up there over the next couple of weeks and he had played on it. And I would listen to it and just be like, I can't believe this is happening. But this is, myself and Eddie on a track. And then it never got a vocal on it by Chris. That was what it was. And Ed got busy doing the next Van Halen record right around then and producing things up. And it ended up, he was just like, yeah, man, I got busy doing this. And it just never ended up getting finished.
Again, going back to it, I would love to hear that.
Oh, absolutely. Also in this interview, Alex Van Halen said that they were planning a Van Halen tour following Eddie's death in 2020, but says that David Lee Roth was the reason that that didn't happen.
Ah, yes!
And he apparently, DLR freaked out at the suggestion that they pay tribute to Eddie Van Halen during the shows.
That seems strange.
How could you not? And then Dave's rep says that this claim is nonsense, so we don't really know what the truth is there.
Yeah, I feel like both have their own version of what the truth is, but there's something in the middle. That just seems so strange to me. As weird as David Lee Roth is, I mean, he has to acknowledge the fact that Eddie Van Halen is a big part of the band Van Halen. You know what I mean? Like, if they want to have a moment, like when we went and saw Pantera, there was a moment where they paid tribute to Dimebag and Vinny when they had like a bunch of videos going while they were playing like a pre-recorded version of Cemetery Gates.
Sure.
And it was a really cool, powerful moment. Metallica did that with Cliff Burton as well. I can't picture... I mean, maybe egos are so big that he's like, if I'm going to do this, I don't want any attention on Eddie. But that just seems so strange to me.
Well, if you want more of the tea of Van Halen, Alex Van Halen's new memoir, Brothers, comes out next week.
I saw a couple like little blurbs and clips like from the book, and it does seem like a great read, especially if you're a Van Halen fan.
Absolutely.
The Daily Migs Show.